From NPR News in Washington, I'm Jim Hawk. It's long days and nights for nuclear negotiators in Vienna as they push toward a self-imposed deadline in 3 days' time. NPR's Peter Kenyon reports that Iran's foreign minister has released another English-language video on the talks and other topics.
Iran has again deployed its U.S.-educated foreign minister, Mohammad Javad Zarif, to deliver a video message. On the nuclear issue, he was generally positive, saying Iran is ready for a balanced, lasting agreement. Zarif also urged nations to work together on issues such as the rise of extremist violence.
Our common threat today is the growing menace of violent extremism and outright barbarism. I hope my counterparts will also turn their focus to this existential battle.
Combating the rise of the self-proclaimed Islamic State is not linked to the nuclear talks, officials say, but there has been hope that success on the nuclear front might lead to greater cooperation on a range of issues. Peter Kenyon, NPR News.
Greece couldn't be more divided heading into Sunday's referendum on austerity measures sought by Eurozone creditors. Greece's prime minister is urging citizens to vote no and shun those who threaten the country with economic ultimatums. There were two massive rallies Friday, for and against the referendum. About 1,000 pro-government fighters and far-right supporters marched in Kiev Friday night. The BBC's Daniel Stern reports they want President Petro Poroshenko to discard the Minsk ceasefire and declare all-out war on pro-Russian rebels.
We're walking through the center of Kiev right now. This is a show of strength by the far rights. Now, it should be said that these guys aren't just activists. These are actual battle-hardened veterans who've been fighting on the front lines in eastern Ukraine. And this has to give President Petro Poroshenko pause, because these guys have now come back to Kiev to express their dissatisfaction.
The BBC's David Stern in Kiev. It's a sizzling holiday weekend in parts of the West where it's normally mild at this time of year. Heat advisories include parts of Idaho, Oregon, and Washington State. National Weather Service forecaster Jim Hayes says the 100-plus temperatures are unusual.
We're seeing places like Boise, Idaho, Walla Walla, Washington. We're seeing, of course, Las Vegas, Death Valley, the normal places, Sacramento. We're seeing those places over 100 degrees, triple digits, places like Walla Walla, Washington. It just doesn't happen all that often.
The extreme heat is leading to red flag wildfire alerts in Oregon, Washington State, Idaho, and Montana. Recent wildfires have destroyed more than 24 homes and torched 30 square miles in Washington, and in Oregon, about 60 square miles have burned. Serena Williams avoided an upset at Wimbledon Friday, extending her Grand Slam winning streak to 24 matches. The top seed's victory set up a match with sister Venus in the fourth round Monday. This is NPR News. Investigators in western Massachusetts say evidence tampering by a former chemist in a state drug lab may have affected thousands more criminal cases than previously thought. Zoe Sobel from member station WBUR reports the chemist's drug addiction was part of the problem.
Sonia Farrick admitted in 2013 to using drugs she took from samples she was supposed to test for criminal cases. At the time, investigators said her actions affected a small number of prosecutions. She served time in prison. Now that Farrick's out, newly released court files show she admitted to her therapist that she stole samples from the lab for nearly a decade. Officials now say thousands of cases she handled will need to be reviewed. This is the second time in less than 5 years in Massachusetts that a state chemist's actions may have jeopardized thousands of cases. For NPR News, I'm Zoe Sobel in Boston.
A Russian Soyuz rocket blasted off from the Cosmodrome on Friday, sending a cargo ship loaded with food, water, and equipment heading toward the International Space Station. It broke a string of three cargo launch failures. The Progress capsule, carrying more than 3 tons of supplies, is expected to reach the orbiting outpost on Sunday. Powered only by the sun, the Solar Impulse 2 landed in Hawaii Friday, successfully completing a record-setting 4,000-mile flight from Japan. Pilot Andre Borschberg had been stuck in the cramped aircraft for over 5 days while flying over the Pacific Ocean. The next leg of the around-the-world flight is from Hawaii to Phoenix, Arizona. I'm Jim Hawk, NPR News in Washington.